I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're back here. Our man Eddie Gonzalez joining us fresh off a workout. KC isn't even in on this. We just learned Cody Rhodes lost the title. Cody Rhodes got beat by Drew McIntyre today.
Where are they at?
Germany.
I'm over here reading spoilers.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre?
Yes. Yes.
All right, I'm glad I'm out, bro.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad. I don't even know what's crazy. Going on, man.
I can't tell. Eddie's excited or upset?
Are we doing full spoilers? Because Sacramento made themselves heard in this match, too. So I'm like real locked in now. I'm about to watch.
Oh, what did you do?
Man, that's a hell of a Oh, I see you.
I see you.
Okay, I see you. Oh, all right, man. Sacramento, stand up. I see you.
Yeah, that I mean. Is he
Yeah, man. Yo, what sort of barbaric workout did you just finish?
No, I'm relaxing. I'm actually doing some work over here.
Okay.
So I did a workout this morning that was pretty stupid.
I thought you might have been jumping with, 50-pound dumbbells in your hand or something.
Bro, don't remind me. I don't want no parts of that.
I saw that. Watching you hesitate, I was like, oh, no, don't do it, Eddie. Don't jump, Eddie. Don't do it.
So the trainer I work with, his name's Antoine, and he's like, I'm known now in his little circle of people he trains. It's like, he'll just try whatever I tell them to do. They'll fight back. Like, no, I can't do that. That's too much. It's just, my dumb ass will like, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can box jump with a barbell on my back. I guess. But that one, that was a little scary. But I did it. So
yeah, you did.
Good stuff, man.
I made it work.
Hey, how good are both of you guys at jump rope?
Oh, great.
Terrible.
No, I'm really
I'm terrible.
Good. Yeah, that's a good warm-up.
Yeah, I was been incorporating the jump rope in lately. It's just nothing major.
It's really good work, but I'm just awful at it.
Yeah. I
can't do the cross thing that all the boxers do. I can't do that. Yeah.
I can do the most I could do right now is the the double hop on one leg.
Mm-hmm. Can you do that?
I could do that. That's where it ends.
Mm-hmm. can you do like a double the little jump? Running? Yeah.
I could do the double jump.
Some guys do it kind of like as a skip jog type thing. Some guys can do it like that.
Not there.
I'm terrible at jump rope. I get like 10, 15 in a row, and it's like, boom, kicked it. All right. Now that's all you
So I want to, there was something that just happened that I wanted to talk
Drew about. Drew McIntyre won the title. That's what it was.
You got me. that I just saw, though, when I was out, that I want to run past both of you guys. But the tweet that you were talking about, I believe, you're talking about, your tweet that says the Kings should just go get Ja. I'm gonna pull a Drewski. What you talking about? What you mean by that?
I mean, that's one of the teams that seems to be involved here. If you're asking me, and what I mean by that tweet in general is they're not gonna acquire a player of that stature without something like this happening, without his stock plummeting to the point where his franchise says, I'm out. And they have some contracts to make this work. They are going to be in a patient rebuild, supposedly. 26-year-old former All-Star doesn't always become available to the Sacramento Kings. And I feel like when they do, you should go make that happen. One of the most popular sneakers in the world right now, a very exciting player. Type of player you can build around and, I think build around and win some games. Now, do you have to build a very specific team around him? For sure. But I would rather have this piece, which is probably the hardest piece, and then figure out the rest over the next couple of years. And much like Trae Young and much like LaMelo Ball and a few other guys, I think Ja would just benefit from a fresh start and would understand what that means when he gets that opportunity. And there's not too many of these to go around. So I seen one of the guys I've seen thrown around this week was Steve Nash. It's like, Steve was cool in Dallas. Steve went to Phoenix and became a whole new thing. They're saying that for Trae, but there's something to that for Ja as well. You know, he needs he's gotten a little banged up over his years, and you know, you lose a little bit of that explosiveness in his game. But again, I think somewhere where he can be the centerpiece outright, and a team that's going to have to take their time would be a great landing spot for him. But you know, can the Kings beat whatever Minnesota would offer or whatever Miami would offer? We're going to find out, because we don't really know what Memphis's priorities are here. They're in that middle ground where theoretically they could push forward with Jaren Jackson and try to compete now, or if they want a complete teardown, maybe they want more picks than the Kings have and things of that nature. But if I'm the Kings, I'm going all in on Ja Morant, and I think they will.
You mentioned so here's my concern. Here's my concern with what you just said. You said that Ja needs a specific team built around him. And I wonder how important a player like Jaren Jackson Jr. mm-hmm. is to the building of a Ja Morant team, because Sacramento has nothing even. By the way, Jaren Jackson Jr., the only player of that 2018 draft who's still on the players we talk about the most who's still on the team that drafted him. DeAndre been moved. Marvin been on multiple teams. Luka's been moved. And now Trey's been moved. And there's Jaren Jackson, you know, making $300 million or whatever it is. But you don't have that in Sacramento. You don't have anything that even remotely resembles that in Sacramento. So what's that ultimately look like, at least for the first year with Ja Morant here?
It's going to be tough. And it depends on what you're going to put around him. If you're going to do the complete teardown, if you're going to see what you can get for Domas, I mean, a Ja trade almost has to be Zach or DeMar. So that's gone. You've taken that off. Like, what do you do from there? But we talked about this on the show a couple times. They need a multi-year build. Like, it needs to be ugly for a little bit before it can be anything decent in Sacramento, because they need to compile some picks. They need to hit on those picks, and then they need to put together ancillary pieces and vets. So that's like kind of like my question mark I would have. Like, if you're trying to foster this culture or this standard in your locker room, is Ja the guy to lead that charge? I don't think he has not shown to be that guy. And that's coming from a big Ja Morant fan. Now, whether you feel that's overrated or not, the Kings do need some sort of stasis in their organization, something they just have not had. And you know what they remind me of, and I hate to say it, and I'm sure Kenny's going to get a little laugh out of this. They remind me of the Raiders. Like, spot on. The Raiders need way more than a quarterback right now.
Yeah.
But they need to take a quarterback. That's the hardest part you're going to have to do in this rebuild, is draft a quarterback. Is Mendoza the guy? I don't know. That's the whole of the conversation. But they need stasis too. We're going in the head coach number or whatever and however many years, and general manager however and however many years, and now Tom Brady is leading the charge. So that's the fifth voice in 7 years that's leading the charge. That's what the Kings have been dealing with as well. And if you look at the successful franchises in the NBA right now, you're looking at, you know, look, the Knicks or the they just came off losing like 500, but they've had the same front office for X amount of time. Boston Celtics obviously have the same front office. Oklahoma City Thunder have the same front office for ages. And like, teams are building on that stasis and that kind of like singular focus on what their goal is, not only for, obviously you want to win, but what they want their team to look like year in, year out, who they want to coach the team, the philosophies they want to have in that team. The Kings have not had that since Rick Adelman. Like it's been some time, and that's a big part that they need to figure out as well.
I've talked to D'Lo about this a few times. I want to run this by you as well, Eddie. Jerry Reynolds, Sacramento legend. Sacramento
legend.
Jerry Reynolds. He was in the studio about a month ago, and you know, he was filling in, and we were talking about just basketball in general, philosophy of team building in the league and stuff like that. And he said something that I have not been able to get over since he said it, probably because he's right. But I asked him, you know, what percentage of players in the league can benefit from a change of scenery? And he came up with the number. He was like, I'd say 90-95% of the players in the league need to not be with the team that drafted them at some point in their career. And when he talked about it, I thought about, I was like, yeah, like, who stays with that same team the whole time? It don't happen like that. Do you subscribe to that theory where, like, eventually these guys need to leave the team that drafted them and kind of reestablish himself or rebrand himself to a certain degree with a new team and a new franchise.
Yeah, not to make this deeper than it needs to be, but I think that applies to life in general. Like, don't stick nowhere where it's you're not satisfied, where it's not working for you, where you're not able to build your fullest potential. Now, I know in basketball, we have this kind of philosophy of, like, you stick it through. That's how you become great. You win the one title with the one team, that's better than winning the four with the four teams or whatever, however you may feel. But, I mean, we are talking about, you know, noted friend of Kevin Durant. And I'm like, yo, you got to be in a better place. Why wait around? What other job would you stick around and be miserable and knowing your talents being capped off and knowing that you can be somewhere else doing better other than sports? So I 100% believe that. I think it's funny he said 99% because, you know, you think of the outliers. I look at somebody like Steph Curry right now who's never going to leave. But if you look at him right now, like, yo, there's 10 better situations for him in the league right now, and they would all take him right this second. Mm-hmm. He won't do it, but that does kind of fall into what Jerry was saying. Like, yeah, even Steph should leave. Even Kobe should have left. He had great opportunity. He tried to, yeah. You know. So, like, I agree with the philosophy for sure, and I think this is probably, like, the hot take of this point, but the league would be better if the guys were – further chasing success in that way, because again, we wouldn't have three down years of Steph Curry. We'd have him on a contender somewhere, like really loading up. And I always think the league is better when we have better teams, like whether we have the super villain super team or we just have a really top heavy league. But when we have this set of four, five, six teams that are just incredible, the league is better.
Since the theme of this conversation is change, we saw some change in the league earlier this week. Trae Young's headed to Washington. There was speculation about what Atlanta's going to do next. I'm guessing that's going to quiet down given the Anthony Davis news here today.
Yeah.
But what do you think about the Trae Young move, and what do you think his actual future is with the Washington Wizards?
Yeah, it sounds like he may not play this year, period. I'm actually in Washington right now. Funny enough, I'm gonna see the Pelicans and not Trae Young and the Wizards tonight.
Damn,
just a coincidence. I didn't notice this happening.
That game is crazy to go see. Pelicans and non Trae Young Wizards. Wow.
I'm out here to see some friends, and it was like I'll probably go to a game. I'm in town, but you know, I asked around a little bit in league circles. Just like, how do y'all feel about this? Like, I didn't love it until I talked to more people and kind of got an idea of where Trey's at as well. And, you know, he's here to build for the long haul. I wouldn't be surprised if pretty soon, or at least at the very beginning of the summer, we hear that he signs a massive contract extension, maybe a max deal, but again, a 3-4 year deal. He's in here for the long haul to build with this franchise. And knowing that now, that makes more sense. And it's kind of the John Morant situation too, where Ja's going to have to, if it's Sacramento, have to, like, not humble himself, but, like, sit in that situation knowing, like, this is a 3-4 year situation. Like, we're going to have to get through the ruts. They got a lot of talented young dudes here in Washington. You know, maybe they're moving on from SARS, or maybe somebody, like, people who are kind of wondering, but they got a lot of talented wings here, and Trae has seen a lot in this league. And it's also going back to this to John's point as well. It's kind of similar to the team that Trae is always going to need. Big, rangy wings who hit shots, who shoot threes, who help him, who complement his game and make him better. If he has the right philosophy, and it sounds like he does, I think it's a great spot for him. The other option I heard, which was kind of like it was always a one-team race, was the Raptors. And if he goes to the Raptors, it's a different deal, obviously, but it's probably RJ and Quickly and something else. But I don't think he was ready to be thrust into whatever that situation may be and that level of expectation right now. He's ready here for the slow build to kind of build up his reputation again. And I like it for him. I like it for him. I've always been a big Trae Young fan. I know what he kind of takes away from your team, but I feel like he adds a lot to your team as well. And again, even if he doesn't play this year, he might just play a little bit next year, it'll be better. And I think they'll continue to grow and continue to add pieces here.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So what I had just kind of heard and wanted to run by both of you guys, why I stepped out, is there's a clip of DeMarcus Cousins talking on running back with Lou Will. And he talked about, I don't know if you've seen this, Eddie, but
the Rick Carlisle clip.
No, that one's wild. We definitely got to talk about
that. I thought that was hilarious.
But Kendrick Perkins the other day on his podcast said the Hornets are intentionally sabotaging LaMelo Ball and lowering his value on purpose. And DeMarcus Cousins said he wasn't like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. But he's like, yeah, I can see that. He said, I think Atlanta did that with Trey. I think they're doing it with LaMelo. I think Memphis is doing it with Ja. I think the Warriors doing it with Kuminga. Like, they're sabotaging these guys. And I got to really, like, think about what he's saying before I have a agree or disagree. But let me ask you guys, like, you think that's what's happening with some of these guys?
I mean, I think in certain situations, some guys are held back, and very intentionally so. A lot of people will bring up the Warriors situation. And my issue with Kuminga and the Warriors is, like, he might just not be good. It's a lot of fuss about nothing to me with the Warriors, but we've seen other teams have players, you know, just in adverse situations when they don't need to be, and just played out of position, played out of their role that would be best for them. I mean, you could argue it's happened to Kevin a few times where everybody's upset he's parked in the corner, and it's like, you know, that benefits the team in a different way. Anyway, but I think you've seen that. Now, are they tanking LaMelo's value so they don't have to pay him? They already paid him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my issue with that. Same thing for Ja, same thing for Trey. Like, maybe Trey now, because he's extension eligible, but he got hurt. You know, they didn't want him to be hurt. If anything, they wanted his value up so they could get more from a trade than CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert. So I don't know. I have some issue with that, but I do think there are situations in the league, and much like any job and occupation, a lot of it is built on relationships and, you know, currying favor with certain people, where some better players probably aren't playing over worse players because they just have better relationships with the front office or the coach or whomever is in charge of making these decisions. But if you're tanking LaMelo right now, knowing you want to trade him, that's just poor management in that sense.
It doesn't add up to me.
The only thing that I would say, it doesn't, I haven't really found a way it adds up either, but if you don't want the player around, if they're, how do I put this? If, like, LaMelo is, like, the superstar, let's do Trey, for example. If Trey is the superstar, he's playing, everything's good, like, doesn't it feel like it might be more difficult to trade him because money's got to work, all this other stuff? If you just want him gone, you can say, oh, this guy's no good, or he doesn't help us win, or he's bad in a locker room or something like that.
But you run into the thing that we talked about earlier with Kuminga. You've spent 2 years telling us he's not good, he's this in the locker room, he's that, he's this problem, he's that. Despite the fact his teammates are saying something completely different, all of these different stories are getting floated out, you know, to people who have strong connections to the team. And it's like that is not benefiting them.
Yeah.
It's not benefiting them at all.
I agree with you guys. Yeah. It was just
interesting. That's the thing. I think if anything, you see the inverse, where, like, Jimmy tanked his value last year in an effort to, like, you have to trade me. But he had, like, the leverage of, this is my salary number, and you as a team, you have to get something back for me. So, like, my value can only be tanked so much. If you're a team tanking your asset, it's like, you know, if I was selling you a car, but I took the rims off and I let all the oil out and I told you too. Like, yo, I did all this, but you can buy the car for what I'm charging anyway, if you want. You're like, what?
Them streets of D.C. is wild, man. You need to be careful while you're out there in the in the nation's capital. Them streets is a little.
I hear you.
in a strange sentence, you did mention you're going to see the Pelicans tonight. We were looking at their squad earlier for some reason. I can't remember why, bro.
because they said they're not trading a bunch of
people. That's what it was. Yeah. Yo, there is some talent, some really good young talent on that squad. I don't know what the excuse is for them being this bad.
No, I look at their roster and I don't get it. Almost every time I watch them play, they play a really competitive game with the Rockets earlier this year. And I was just like, yo, like, aren't they supposed to be good? But, you know, and you every time you watch Zion, you feel like, oh, like, this is it. I get it. And then we don't see him again for a month or whatever it is. But a lot of talent, a lot of, like, modern talent, too. Trey Murphy is this rangy shooter who can defend. And then you got Herb Jones, who is, like, super modern defender who defends four positions and is all over the place. It's, like, not only just talented guys, but, like, those should be winning guys. And everybody likes Isaiah Fears. And then Jordan Poole, obviously, has been part of a winner. And think what you will of his, you know, his game or whatever. But it kind of doesn't make sense. People are high on their coach when Willie Green got fired too. I don't know. I think some organizations in some situations just foster losing habits in a lot of ways and just unserious basketball. I think that's the same thing that's happening in Charlotte. And like, we didn't really get into the LaMelo stuff, but I had conversations this week where it's like, yo, I still believe in LaMelo's talent, but like, he's been playing meaningless basketball for like 10 years going back to high school. Yeah. He's never had to win basketball games or play in a role that's beneficial towards winning. It's just been this. He's probably just learned awful habits or just doesn't care. And now if you put LaMelo on the Minnesota Timberwolves, is he suddenly a better player because it's a more serious organization? I don't know, but I think he'll be in a better position to utilize his talents. And I think it's the same for all of the guys we just mentioned on the Pelicans. I wish Trey Murphy would get traded somewhere where I get to see him with a great guard and an athletic center and a smart offense where he's just like killing corner threes and attacking closeouts on. I wish that would be great. I wish we got to see Herb Jones on the, you know, I keep saying the Wolves, but like a team like that who's athletic and defends all night is going to be perfect for him. But we're just not getting that. And I don't know what the Pelicans are holding on to. Like, a couple of years ago, the rumor was they were going to trade Zion to the Hornets for the pick that ended up becoming Brandon Miller and just pulled out last minute. Like, the time to cut the cord for a lot of this was a long time ago. So I have no clue what they're holding on to now.
Real quick, you're talking about LaMelo. Did you see LaMelo last night?
Yeah.
LaMelo.
Yeah, he scored like 30 in like 15 minutes, right? Like,
yeah, it was also the first time he took that shot. Kind of a step back. He took a shot at the end, near the end of regulation. They asked him about it. They asked him about it after the game, and it was the first time I've ever heard LaMelo go, yeah, I don't think I should have taken that. that probably wasn't the one I should have.
That was literally the first time it happened.
Like, I don't think he's ever said that before. That wasn't the one for me. Probably tough luck.
The clip went around of him scoring 92 points the other day. It was like. What's the most hidden moment you ever seen? And they're triple teaming him without the ball, and he still gets open. He still makes a crazy three. And it's just like, that makes perfect sense in high school. Mm. It's just never going to be able to play basketball like that again when it matters. No. And it's great ball, great handler. I wouldn't call him a great shooter, but he's a capable, good shooter. He can make shots. Mm-hmm. He can score. He's got great court vision. That should matter somewhere, and it just hasn't yet.
Rick Carlisle won his 1,000th game last night. That game that the Pacers beat Charlotte ended their longest losing streak in franchise history.
Jeez.
He had been on 999 for 13 straight games.
Oh my gosh. Yo, since before Christmas. I don't get that team either. Like, yo, I know they're missing Halliburton, but Nembhard and Pascal Siakam should be able to gut out some wins here. Like, I have no clue what's going on with that team.
They might just
Turner could not have cost them that much.
They might just be vibing.
They look awful.
They might just be vibing. They're like, hey, we can't do it.
We made it last year. Yeah. We're good, fellas. Yeah.
We'll regroup next year.
And we'll regroup with AJ DeBonston.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy.
Thank God he ain't going to the Celtics no more because, man, they might mess around with the East still.
My goodness. Hey, Eddie, before you get out of here, just real quick, I get your predictions. Wild card weekend. You got the Niners
Eagles,
and who else winning?
Eagles.
Niners and who else winning?
Eagles. I got the Chargers losing. I got the Broncos losing when they play.
Like, Broncos who you play this week, got them losing.
You know what my favorite kind of thing this playoffs is I like watching Matt Stafford play. Like, I don't mean to be that guy, but I just kind of love an old school quarterback who can literally make every throw. Puka's fun. Like, the that Rams team is fun. I like watching him play. I'm super rooting for the Niners to not play at home Super Bowl. So, like, that's really my only betting interest here. Would love the Chargers to lose. Would love the Broncos to lose. I'm definitely on, like, I'm just here to have fun this week. Like, I don't need to see it. I want to see how far the Texans can go, though, because I'm a C.J. Stroud fan. And he's hit or miss. Like, yeah. It seems like the pass rush gets to him a lot, but that defense they got is ridiculous, so I want to see what they do. I saw Drake May in person, which was like his legacy game against the Jets. He scored like 5 touchdowns. I just believe it now. Like, I don't know what to think of these quarterbacks who, not to be Cam Newton, but like, they're just game managers, but they're like the greatest game managers I've ever seen. I'm a little scared we're going to get like a boring Super Bowl. It's like the Patriots and the Eagles or something, but that's football now.
And Bad Bunny. Eddie, we appreciate you, my man. Enjoy the Pelicans and Wizards tonight.
Man, I love basketball, guys. I'm about to watch this Cody Rhodes match, though.
That's crazy. Cody lost the belt. I'm still tripping off that. What?
Eddie got a glow now that he learned Cody lost.
Yo, I'm like, geek. CM Punk's the champ. Cody Rhodes is out, and he's not even – they're nowhere near each other. Like, keep him away from Roman Reigns. Like, keep him in the mid. Let him go bump for the U.S. title and be a – what he's supposed to be, gold dust.
Him and Zack Ryder going to tag team with each other.
Yeah, so. Him and Austin Theory can do whatever they got to do down there for another belt. No, it's just a regular match. Like, just – Open the doors with them.
Eddie, we appreciate you, boy. Thank you.
See you later, gang.